right, it's time for another edition of Conversations with Community Managers, and we're excited today to have Jerry Canaday from MasterCard. My name is Jim Storer. I'm the co-founder of the Community Roundtable, and I'm here with my colleague, Shannon Abram. Shannon.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jerry. We are very excited to have Jerry with us today. Jerry, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about MasterCard, and a little bit about the kind of community that you work with?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me. So I am Jerry Canaday. I'm a solution architect for internal systems at MasterCard. And, you know, a little bit about me is, you know, I've worked in IT my whole career, but at the same time, I'm very passionate on a couple things specifically that focus on social collaboration, community, and the future of work and mobility specifically. On a personal level, I'm a huge sports fan. Love the local St. Louis Cardinals and St. Louis Blues here. And, you know, love just hanging out and enjoying sports and friends and my personal networks as well.
So, Jerry, let's dive right into your role because it is pretty non-traditional. You mentioned solution architect for internal systems. Can you share how you apply community management principles to what you do day to day?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, a lot of people, they view community management as kind of a role that has a specific meaning, and I don't view it quite as that. I think that a community manager and community management, the principles and the foundation about what it's all about is, you know, can be applied through all realms of life, both work and non-work. And I try to put that to test a lot when I'm, you know, working on project teams or cross-functional ad hoc working groups, or just in my everyday life, talking with people. What I really find the most fascinating thing is when you think about community management, communities in general, you know, at the core, it's all about relationships and relationship building. So you got to build them, you've got to evolve them, and you got to keep them fresh and going and sustainable. And there's a multitude of ways you do that. But, you know, if you think about everything you do in life, as well as work, you know, you can apply those same principles for the most part. So, you know, it's amazing how many great things can happen when you have good relationships, both in the work and non-work world.
So you had mentioned when you introduced yourself that you are interested in and work on the future of the internet and mobile solutions. I'd love to hear more about what you're learning about in those fields as it applies specifically to community management.
Certainly. Two topics near and dear to my heart for sure. So let's start with the future of the internet. Something that I've been a part of, you know, internets and collaboration services for a number of years now. So you learn a lot over the years. And what I believe is that as internets are moving forward to the next generation, you know, you're going to see two very critical things that are happening. One is they're going to be very mobile first. And what I mean by that is mobile doesn't necessarily have to be just a type of device. And I'll get into that in a little bit, you know, when I talk about mobile specifically. And then very social first approaches. You know, so all sites will be focused on the concept of community. So if you think about a traditional internet today, at most companies you see a top-down approach, you know, in the way that things are communicated and the way that things are just made available, I guess is the best way to put it. And then you can go and you've got to do a lot of digging to find the information that you're looking for, as well as there's a lot of stale content. There's not a whole lot of interaction around the content or the concepts of certain sites and pages. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to move that shift to thinking about everything from a community point of view and everything from an interaction and engagement point of view, to where you empower, you know, the community of people, which in the internet side is all your employees, to be enabled to, you know, to be able to contribute content, to be able to interact on other content and other conversations, as well as be able to share a lot of information within your communities and your network of people internally. So you certainly are going to see a big movement there personally. Mobility, that certainly is another, you know, I call this one of the more interesting topics that, you know, people talk about generically. The way that I look at this, it's going to be a true paradigm shift in the world of technology and the way that we work. You know, so you think about the future of work, and I think the future of work really focuses on a world where you can work from an any device, anywhere scenario. So today, a lot of people and a lot of companies, they don't have much of an enterprise mobility story, or if they do, it's very limited. So maybe they have email, calendar, contacts, but that's really the extent of what they're doing. I think tomorrow, you know, you're going to see that, you know, that any device, anywhere scenario of how do I work as wherever I want to in a way that makes sense and focuses on the device that I have and the best way that I can be productive and engaged on that device. So again, it's not 100% device focused, but it certainly goes into the world of I get to choose, and it's a personalization, and I can still be productive, whether it is that I am at home, or whether it is that I'm in the office, or I'm at an airport, or I'm at a friend's house. So I get to choose. It's that personalization that I have. So I always try to create a story when I tell people about mobility and how you can think about, you know, the value story. And so I always talk about, you know, today a lot of people they get in a lot of ad hoc conversations and situations wherever they are in the world, and they can't really share that with their internal network very easily and be able to engage their internal communities at the place and time that they are, just because they don't have the capabilities. So imagine that you're there and you can take pictures and share videos and you know, you have a great thought while you're just, you know, hanging out waiting at the subway for something, or you're having a great conversation with a group of friends, you know, over beer, coffee, and you want to share that and you want to interact with your community at that time and place. And, you know, that's what mobility gives you the opportunity to do. So I'll kind of leave that there, that I could talk about these things all day.
Well, I want to ask a follow-on to that, because it is fascinating, and I'm just wondering how MasterCard as an organization has embraced that concept, specifically the anyone can be anywhere, because I know that it's undeniable that face-to-face interactions are important, but increasingly giving employees that freedom to work anywhere and really interact whenever they want to is powerful, and I'm just wondering what you've seen in your time there.
So I think that as a organization that we are fairly forward thinking, you know, I mean, we've enabled a lot of these general concepts of, you know, work from home and telecommuting and, you know, opportunities for assignments abroad and, you know, lateral movements, upward movements. We really do a lot, I think, especially over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, for our employees. But specifically, as you think about it from a mobility point of view, you know, in fact, I'm currently, you know, one of the leads on trying to enable this foundation, is you really got to, you know, there's a couple critical things that you've got to be able to do, and we're not quite there yet, but we have a really good plan on how to get there. And, you know, there's three main components. You have to figure out, you know, how exactly you're going to get people access from a device that is unmanaged into your, you know, network. You know, so there's that internal gateway access. And then there's also the authentication and authorization, you know, that has to happen, to where, you know, you may require a two-factor authentication, but some way, somehow, you've got to have something that you're comfortable with as an organization, to where somebody has to do some level of authentication and authorization to get access to stuff internally. And then from there, a lot of it has to do with how you are securing the data. Because at most companies, it's not about getting access to a system, it's about getting access to the data in the system. So, you know, it's all about how you manage and secure the data, no matter where it is. So, you know, those three things are kind of the foundation of getting, you know, from a device. Again, it doesn't have to be a smartphone or tablet. You know, it could be your home laptop or whatever the case may be, but or a kiosk somewhere. But it's just ensuring that you have a consistent story that you feel that, you know, from a security perspective is meeting the expectations, but also from a usability perspective that you're creating a user experience that is, you know, that is acceptable or better, I guess is the best way to put it, as good as you possibly can, so that end user, you know, has a good experience as they're trying to use different devices. So that's really the key foundation. And then from there, it's, you know, it's all about enabling the services that provide the most value. So it's more of a prioritization perspective and how you want to deliver services through an app, through a browser, you know, or multiple services through a single app or multiple apps. There's a multitude of ways you approach that, but it's, you know, it's definitely a it's not easy. You know, a lot of people think that it's very easy and it's really not. And there's a lot of considerations that have to go into it because you're basically creating more risk to your company. You know, the more that you can access internal content from a multitude of devices to where your company doesn't manage them. And so there's a lot of consideration that goes along with that and depends a lot on your industry and what countries you're in and, you know, what the rules are, you know, just at your own personal company policy level.
Right. Right. Interesting.
Jerry, I think it's fascinating. I spent some time in my career in the payments world, and just the security issues alone are so huge. I think it's so great that you get to work on such innovative stuff in a really sometimes not innovative industry for these kinds of things. It sounds like you're really doing cool work there.
Yeah, you know, I will say that I'm lucky. I think a lot of other people at my company feel like they're pretty lucky to work for a company that, yeah, we happen to be in the financial services space, but we are a technology company. And so I think that we've taken a pretty big transformation over the past 4 to 5 years since our recent CEO took over to take us to that next level to really become more of an innovative company and you know, provide a better, you know, work experience and a work-life balance. And, you know, there's a lot of great things, you know, that when you go into work and you tell people that you work for MasterCard, you say it with pride and you're excited to tell people some of the things you're working on. And I can tell you from a lot of my other colleagues at other companies, that's not always the case. They sometimes are very shy about sharing some of the things they're doing because to some degree they're a little embarrassed that they're not working on things that are more innovative or more forward thinking.
So we spend a lot of time talking at the Community Roundtable about community superpowers. Would you please share your community superpower with us?
Certainly. Yeah, so always an interesting question. I guess the superpower that I would say that I have is I call myself the aggregator. And what I mean by that is I really just, you know, I'm the person that tries to bring all the people and things together into a single location, whether that's physical or a virtual world. And you know, half the battle is trying to get the right people to, you know, together to have discussions, to make progress, to be in a working group, to, you know, just passionate people on certain topics. And so, you know, I like to believe that's one of the things that I do pretty well, you know, in focused in the community.
So you mentioned cool. Sports fan, and I love the, you know, you said, what, Cardinals and Blues. Are the Blues still in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Ooh, sore subject, but no.
Oh, sorry. I haven't been following it as closely since the Bruins didn't even make it to the playoffs. But so my kind of the closing question is just to ask about maybe some example of sports-related community that you've experienced and you know, just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so I find that, you know, in just because it's a passion of mine, you know, so first of all, yes, I'm absolutely a big sports fan and you know, go Blues, go Cardinals, certainly a huge St. Louis supporter, and we have a great sports community here in St. Louis. What I find fascinating about the sports community is it's very tight in general. You know, you can walk up to a complete stranger, you know, and you can have conversations about, you know, whatever the sport is that you guys are, you know, passionate about. You know, it could be soccer, football, baseball, you know, lacrosse, golf, whatever the case may be, and maybe all of the above. You know, so you kind of have that bigger umbrella community of just sports fans in general. And then you really have the sub communities, you know, if you think about it, by each sport, each team, each player, et cetera. And you really see people from all over the world rallying around, you know, each of these things, you know, whatever they're passionate about in whatever communities they want to be, you know, associated with. So it's pretty fascinating. It's one of the most obvious communities that I see in the world today that, you know, maybe the sports are a little different, but, you know, it's a global, you know, universal community of sports fans. And, And so, you know, when you take a look at that, that's, I kind of break it down a little bit, and I've had conversations with a few of my, other passionate colleagues about this as well, and trying to understand, how successful sports teams, and understand the big reason why they have sustainable success. If you look at it, you have to buy into the team concept, and i.e. that's the community, and then you have a front office, which, I equate those to your executive sponsors and stakeholders. You got to put a nice mix of stars, role players, steady veterans, high potential young guys, and a pipeline of talent down to your minor league systems. And then you really have to, have a manager, coach, coaches, which those are kind of your community managers. And you have to understand how to maximize the value of each of your individual talents and bring it all together to provide the best team to get the best results. And that kind of equals that whole successful community concept. So, it's pretty interesting when you look at things focused from how does that relate to community. But I think in a lot of situations in sports is one that's near and dear to my heart, but you can really equate the community concepts to just about everything.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love offline examples to, kind of mirror what you're thinking about in the online space. And I think we hit a really great topic that we might need to do a follow-on discussion on, because for the longest time, when you think about the major professional sports, there's one that I think has really figured out community management better than most, and it's not one of the major four. It's actually NASCAR. They've figured out how to bring fans inside the experience and get them so they can interact with one another while it's going on. It's really, really interesting what they've done. But all of the sports teams are getting better. They're trying new stuff. I like what professional golf is doing. A lot of their players are becoming much more transparent about what they do, on and off the course, and just sharing more. So it's a fascinating topic, and I think community managers can probably learn a lot from looking at professional sports teams and professional athletes in general, and just see how they're embracing the space.
100% agree. It's a very fascinating topic, and it's a very fascinating industry, and it relates very closely to the concept of community. And you could have an all-day discussion probably on this alone, but, everybody's going to have a point of view. But certainly you nailed it. I mean, there's certain sports that do a little bit better job than others. There's certain athletes that do a better job, certain teams that do a better job, but I think you are seeing more and more of an emphasis over the last couple of years specifically that, more and more teams are trying to get front and center on that. And that's how you really drive a global brand and get recognition and awareness, quite frankly. So it's awesome set of people, awesome set of communities that all come together.
Hmm. Well, fantastic, Jerry. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Shannon and I have really, appreciated your time, but also enjoyed hearing what you have to say on the subjects. And I'll look forward to continuing the conversation with you and the CR Network.
Well, great, guys. I appreciate it. Definitely appreciate the opportunity and being a part of this.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
All right. Thank you.